Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
The title of my message today is "The Government Rests Upon His Shoulders." When we think about government, everybody, how many of you think about this building here in Canberra, or maybe the White House? This is our Parliament House in Canberra. How many of you have been there, seen it? Okay, well, about five of us. I encourage those of you who have never been to visit Canberra and visit our great capital, the ACT, the Brumbies land, to go and check it out. Canberra's actually a really beautiful town, and this is our parliament. It is cold, though. But when we think about government, we often think about our governmental leaders and their responsibility in leading our country. And then we begin to think about us as Christians and what does that mean for us. Now, I'm going to just read. The reason why I've got this microphone standing here is I'm going to read for you an article that was written this time last year by a guy by the name of Tim Keller in the New York Times. So, yes, Tim Keller is a pastor based out of New York City. He's the founding pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church there, but now has gone on to start churches all over the world with his City to City initiative. And he's a very influential thinker and leader globally. And so he wrote this article called "How Do Christians Fit Into the Two-Party System? They Don't," which I thought the headline kind of grabbed me. And I wanted to read it for you and then kind of give it as obviously like a foundation for what we want to talk about here. What should the role of Christians in politics be? More people than ever are asking that question. Christians cannot pretend they can transcend politics or simply preach the gospel. Those who avoid all political discussions and engagement are essentially casting a vote for the social status quo. American churches, oh, this is the context he writes in the early 19th century that did not speak out against slavery because that was what we now call getting political, were actually supporting slavery by doing so. To not be political is to be political. The Bible shows believers as holding important posts in pagan governments. Think of Joseph and Daniel in the Old Testament. Christians should be involved politically as a way of loving our neighbors, whether they believe as we do or not. To work for better public schools or a justice system not weighted against the poor or to end racial segregation requires political engagement. Christians have done these things in the past and should continue to do so. Nevertheless, while believers can register under a party affiliation and be active in politics, they should not identify the Christian church or faith with a political party as the only Christian one. There are a number of reasons to insist on this. One is that it gives those considering Christian faith the strong impression to be converted. They need not only to believe in Jesus, but also to become members of the fill-in-the-blank party. It confirms what many skeptics want to believe about religion, that it is merely one more voting bloc aiming for power. Another reason not to align the Christian faith with one party is that most political positions are not matters of biblical command, but of practical wisdom. This does not mean that the church can never speak on social, economic, and political realities, because the Bible often does. Racism is a sin, violating the second of the two great commandments of Jesus, to love your neighbor. The biblical commands to lift up the poor and to defend the rights of the oppressed are moral imperatives for believers. For individual Christians that speak out against such egregious violations of these moral requirements is not optional. However, there are many possible ways to help the poor. Should we shrink the government and let private capital markets allocate resources? Or should we expand the government and give the state more of the power to redistribute wealth? Or is it the right path, one of the many possibilities in between? The Bible does not give exact answers to these questions for every time, place, and culture. Another reason Christians these days cannot allow the church to fully be identified with any political party, any particular party, is the problem of what the British ethicist, James Mumford calls package deal ethics. Increasingly, political parties insist that you cannot work on one issue with them if you don't embrace all of their approved positions. This emphasis on package deal puts pressure on Christians in politics. For example, following both the Bible and the early church, Christians should be committed to racial justice and the poor, but also to the understanding that sex is only for marriage and for nurturing family. One of these views seems liberal and the other looks oppressively conservative. The historical Christian positions on social issues do not fit into contemporary political alignments. So Christians are pushed towards two main options. One of them is to withdraw and to be apolitical. The second is to assimilate and to fully adopt one party's whole package in order to have your place at the table. Neither of these options is valid. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable in Gospel of Luke, Jesus points to a man risking his life to give material help to someone of a different race and religion. Jesus forbids to withhold help from our neighbors. And this will inevitably require that we participate in the political processes. If we experience exclusion and even persecution for doing so, we are assured that God is with us. And that, this is from Matthew 5, 10 to 11, and that some will still see our good deeds and glorify God, 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. If we are only offensive or only attractive to the world, but not both, we can be sure we are failing to live as we ought. The gospel gives us resources to love people who reject both our beliefs and us personally. Christians should think of how God rescued them. He did it not by taking power, but by coming to earth, losing glory and power, serving and dying on a cross. How did Jesus save? Not with a sword, but with nails in his hands. We look at a Christian worldview which sees the government as that which controls every aspect of our lives. So in other words, if we look at the center of this diagram, be careful not to get hypnotized, but if the center of this diagram represents our core, our heart, how we make decisions, and the outside of this diagram represents that which is of outward influence, the way we can often approach this train of thought is that the government and society and world and worldly culture influences us. Whereas the Christian worldview would say there is a difference between having governance take responsibility for us, of which they should because they're elected officials. Romans 13 talks about how we are to submit under the authority of governing officials. But there's also the fact that God's called us to govern ourselves. And so it actually moves towards us taking responsibility for self-governance. What do I mean by that? Self-control. You might look at them as being polar opposite, but like when you begin to think about it, true governance starts from a transformation from the inside out, not necessarily from the outside. Some of you are either not engaging in this conversation because it's like, it's political. He's talking about the government. I don't need to listen to this. Or some of you are getting riled up because you hold one of two positions, right? You're either on this side or this side. What we want to keep it here, because we're in church, is Christ-centered as to how God's called us to walk in governance. Now think about this for a moment. That prophecy that we just read, that Steph read for us, was given 700 years before the actual emergence of Christ. The promise that Jesus would come and the government would rest upon his shoulders. So what we have here is like two responses that Tim Keller highlights, right? Number one, we get so, we embrace all the views of one political party. Just like the United States, we have two primary parties that vie for the government. How many of you have noticed that, right? We're the two political parties that are that often take the elections. Are you aware of that? We don't need to talk about the actual parties and party names, but think about it for a moment. But for most of the societies, when I look around this room, they've got these two parties. And if you don't embrace the values of one, you have to dispel the other. But there are godly values in both. So how do we respond as Christians to politics, right? In light of Jesus, who came in order that the government would rest upon his shoulders. Well, the last thing we want to do is be a holy huddle unto ourselves. So it's like saying, you know what, Christianity and church will be a subculture not engaged in political activity whatsoever. So I'll come and I'll do my Sunday activity of being a churchified Christian, but then when I go and engage in society and the rest of my life, I don't necessarily have to live out my Christianity. How many of you know that that's not the way Christ has called us to live? So we subjugate our Christianity to this hour and a half on a Sunday. Maybe add an extra hour if you go to life group. But the rest of my life is where I engage in the actual world. I don't necessarily walk as a Christian. How many of you know that God has called us to be a Christian all 168 hours of the week? And so what we do here at Every Nation Brisbane, as is the heart of many pastors in this city, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, because the work of ministry actually happens in the 166 hours that you don't spend around Christians. But what can often happen is like, you know what? Christ is not the center of my political views. And let me tell you something. There may be a lot of variance in political views in this place. But as long as they're founded on Christ being the center of those views, and you honor God. Because I know that politics, and that's why you need to pray for your pastor as he's preaching this sermon right now. Politics is a very sensitive subject. You bring up politics and it's kind of like, you know, If you're so founded in one particular political system or political party, anybody that even smells like the opposition cannot be saved. Can, you know, like everything short of, because you hold those values. And that's good you hold those values. But can you hold those values without waving the flag of a specific political party? But raise the flag of Jesus. Jesus Christ as Lord of your political views. Even having conversations across the board with others who hold Christian convictions from the other side of the tracks. I knew it was going to be quiet in this message. It's all right. So you can either, so what happens is either you subjugate yourself, become a holy huddle, or you embrace holistically what Tim Keller is saying here, the political views of one particular party or another. And then there's areas, how many of you know, there's areas of compromise if in a bi-party system. Like you'll see aspects of one party that you really like. For instance, if you're conservative, generally in a conservative view, by conservative, I'm not talking about the conservative party, I'm just talking about conservatism. There's a tendency to fight for the rights of the unborn child. And I think that that's a value that holds strong. Like I think absolutely we should hold on to the biblical conviction where this is required. And again, I know this is sensitive for me to even bring this up. But, you know, the Christianity is quite clear on that when you look at the Bible and what it says. But does that mean that anybody who holds a liberal view and maybe has walked through an abortion, does that mean that I don't associate with them? No way. The church exists for those who struggle in that area, for them to be welcomed into the church, to help them walk through the decisions that have been made to lead them to that point. But if we subjugate ourselves towards these things, or holding on to the traditional value of family, yes, I believe in the traditional biblical value of family and marriage, the way it's portrayed in Scripture, it's very clear. But does that mean that I totally isolate myself from those who struggle with same-sex attraction, not even fully embracing that lifestyle? No way, that's what the church exists for. But when you hold a political view, so sternly and wave that flag, it actually isolates you from proper conversations, biblical conversations which are modeled by the Good Samaritan, who held not just a political view, but a racial view that was different to the Israelite who was beaten on the ground. You're not even open to that conversation taking place. So it's all about the transformation that's happened in your heart. Do we hold, you know, like Christ must be, to follow Christ, you must hold on to this political party's views. You'll notice that. And then on the liberal side, the social justice is important. And some of us may have different views on environmentalism, but taking care of the environment, stewarding according to Genesis, how God's called us to be stewards of the environment. So there's good views on this side, but there's also, you know, the devaluing of the things that I just mentioned on the conservative side of the ledger. And so you can't get it right on either side. Jesus Christ must be the center of your politics. Jesus Christ and holding a biblical worldview must be the center of every decision that you make politically. And by politically, I'm not just talking about going to a voting booth and ticking a box. It's how you engage with the world must be centered on Christ, not your Facebook feed. A lot of people get riled up because they read a headline on a fake news website and it's like, oh man, I'm so shaken up by what this person wrote. You just get this outrage that comes on you. But if you actually read the article, it's fake news. They're just trying to get your click. I knew in preparing and preaching this sermon, it wouldn't be too popular. But my encouragement for you is beyond the engagement that you have with church family on a Sunday morning, your life needs to be lived out in those convictions, in those areas. How do you live out your life? It was a conviction of a lot of us. Last week, we made the big announcement. Praise God, we're about to plant our second location in Logan. Really excited about that. And then we were talking about the missions activity that we have going on in Samoa and then going on in Europe. Excited about that too. But for those of you who are unaware, there is a measles epidemic that's happening in Samoa right now. And so for us to sit back and say, oh, we're just focused on planting churches. Do you realize how ridiculous that sounds? When we don't engage on the ground level as the church, rather we're more interested in running just life groups and just planting a church. This is when the church becomes the church, when we can actually engage on the ground level. For those of you who are visitors here, hi, I just hope you're enjoying today's message. What are we walking into? You walked into a real church that really engages in society. It's not just interested in just scratching that spiritual itch so that you can go about your Christianity totally anonymous at work where nobody hears about your faith. Nobody's life is transformed. So we refuse to be a holy huddle. If all that happens here is that we've come together and then you go about your life completely not challenged by the leading of the Holy Spirit in this room, not by my opinion or my ability to communicate, but by the Holy Spirit who is in this place, challenging you to trust His governance in your life. Because really when it gets down to it, for those of you who have been around Every Nation or Victory all your life, this is just a message of lordship. He must be Lord of all. And that includes your political views. That includes the way that you engage in the world. So how do we see governance and the government resting upon His shoulders? It should look like this. From the inside out, self-governance, self-control, empowered by the Holy Spirit and His grace afforded to us by the cross of Jesus Christ, who took the ultimate authority of government from heaven and laid it down at our feet when He died upon the cross and said, this is the way you govern. You lead by serving. You lead by having your life fully submitted to Christ. And then out of that, that dictates the way that you live your life in the governance of God. Who's responsible for your life? Who's responsible for the decisions that you make? Is Christ really the center? Or is Centerlink the center? That's from Bianca Pretorius. She gave me that. is Centrelink the center? Because sometimes, you know, and I'm not, nothing wrong with Centrelink, and praise God for, you know, different provisions that the government provides. But when it comes down to it, guys, who's your provision? Who's your provider? Who's the one that carries your destiny? Because the one that governs your soul and governs your spirit will determine the way you live your life. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And the way that you can tell that is by looking at the, just like in our government, we have a Department of Justice. We have a Department of Foreign Affairs. We have a Department of Education. We have all these different departments in our parliament system. And you have departments in your heart. The Department of Finances. The Department of Career. The Department of Relationships. The Department of I'm Lonely. Ouch, that hurt somebody in here. The Department of What's for Lunch After Church. Will this guy please hurry up and get to the point? And all of those different departments, the government of those departments rests upon his shoulders. But do they really? Do they really rest upon his shoulders? Because what that might look like in your own life, when we're talking about governance, is like asking the question, God, I'll trust you in every other area, but when you start bringing up tithing, God, I don't know if that's God. Know if I can trust you. I'll still hold on to that department. I'll still take the Senate of that department. I'll still take the position of power in that department. That's what self-governance looks like. It looks like, God, I'm trusting you with my finances. I'm trusting you with my health, Department of Health. It's extra quiet now. Carlo, I'm a bit scared. The Department of Relationships and Friendships. I'll trust you in every area, but God, you're taking too long for me to find a husband. Way too long. So I don't know if I can trust you. So you know what? I'll help you. I'll be your advisor. Because I'm 22 and it's taking too long. So you know what? I'll help you out. Lord, lead me as I go on Tinder, God. Just lead me. Lead my fingers, Lord. Swipe left. This is a swipe left, Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight, but that sight looks pretty good. I hope she's saved. I'm not sure, you know. I don't think she'd wear that to church, but looks like she had a little verse on her profile. Maybe I can, you know, maybe. Let's just pray about it. Reebok Adidas, Reebok Adidas, Reebok Adidas. Sure, Lord, is that you, God? I'm trusting you. Are you really trusting God? Are you really trusting him? And this is the reason why, you know, like so many single are in a rush to get married, and then so many married people are in a rush to get single again. It's like life was so much better before you came along. Well, you're the one that swiped right. And rather than settling for what is right, you settle for what is right now. Financial obligations. Does the government of your life truly rest upon his shoulders, the shoulders that took the cross upon themselves and was nailed? He serves us with nails in his hands, not with a sword. And so he comes to us and he proposes, look, this is what true governments should rest upon. Praise God that we have a born-again, spirit-filled prime minister. But the destiny that I have does not lean on the shoulders of ScoMo. I'm thankful for ScoMo. Pray for our government on both sides of the parties, both parties. But my government starts with me submitting the governance of my life to Christ. It starts from the inside out. And unless the Lord changes the lives of the church, the people of God, he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. It's time to stop playing, guys. Time to stop playing around. And it's so subtle how that these things will enter into our lives. Oh, social media. Praise God for social media. It's such a great tool to use to reach people. But it's such an exposer of motives. I fall prey to it too. Like there's all sorts of temptations. Praise God for what he's doing in my life. I'm so blessed that click. And you know in your heart that as you expose that part of your heart, other people are seeing and going, man, I wish I could have that. And we break the 10th commandment every day when we look at social media. Some of y'all looking at me like, what's the 10th commandment? 10th commandment is do not covet your neighbor's anything. But every time I look on social media, covet those abs, covet those shoes, cover that person's reaching person without shoes. Just cover it, cover it, cover it. Oh, I need that. I want that. How did they get that effect on their face? I need that app, that lighting system. Oh, it's amazing. I need a better camera. I need. So because I need this, oh, look, what a hot husband, and he's a Christian. Well, I need, and it's just, oh, man, I need. I feel so empty. You know why you feel so empty? Because the government's not resting upon his shoulders. The government of your heart still rests upon those needs. When I have that, then the government will rest finally. He's got to be Lord. And in a society that has, man, like just when you bought the latest phone from that company, and then a year later, a new company, that company comes out with a new model of phone, and you're looking at your phone, and it's like, what is this, from caveman days? This is the same age as hieroglyphics. What is this? This phone, a center for ants. What is this phone? Like, and you're never satisfied because the government is resting upon your own shoulders rather than resting upon the shoulders of the one who took you to the cross and said, look, I invite you into peace, shalom, wholeness, fulfillment. Even if you have 12 abs, you'll still cry out for more. And we take that mentality into our relationships. Yeah. And so we have this, you know, like, the significant other that we associate with. Well, check it out. Look, Instagram. Look who I'm with. Check it out. Yeah, praise the Lord. Proverbs 31 woman. Hallelujah. Praise him. And the same way we approach the latest iPhone is the same way we approach the latest woman that comes along in our lives, right? It's like we try to do a Beyonce, let me upgrade you. Like, oh man, she was beautiful 5 years ago, but then gravity happened and gravity happened to you too, man. And you hit midlife crisis, right? You get to your 40s and then you're like, sorry guys, there's some coughing from some old men there. And then you're like, man, you look at what you have and you're like, this is not enough. And so you start to take the position of government over those areas of your life rather than just settling in the peace that God has for you with what you have. That's why Paul would write, nobody quotes, everybody with a rugby jersey writes Philippians 4:13 on it, but doesn't quote 11 or 12 written from prison. He says, I know what it's like to have plenty. I know what it's like to have nothing, but I found contentment in him, and therefore I can do all things through Christ who governs, who strengthens me. Who really governs your life today? Life is too short for us to lean on governments to dictate our governance. Praise God for ScoMo, but my responsibility starts with me offering my life to Christ. It's not waiting for ScoMo to be my spiritual guide. No. It's taking responsibility, guys. And this is something that Australians run from. They'd rather hand it to a pastor or hand it to an MP. But I'm here to tell you today, you need to take responsibility for your life. This is where self-governance starts. It's making a decision to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so I, with that responsibility, am handing it over to him, not just spiritually, but in every single department of my life. Think about your heart like that building I showed you in Canberra, that every office of that heart of yours needs to belong to Jesus. The way you can tell what governs your life is when the pressure is on, what do you run to? You run to your government. When the pressure is on, do you run to the government of Heineken? It's like, I still haven't found it. It's at the bottom of this one. I still haven't, I can't find it anywhere. Do you run to the bottle of pornography? Do you run to, what do you run to? And again, I'm not bashing you because we all have these areas of struggle, but it's understanding that the government must rest upon his shoulders. You don't let it rest upon his shoulders, you will never find rest. You'll be searching and searching and swiping and swiping and turning bottles up and turned down for what? But you'll never find it. You'll never find rest. And I know that this sort of message doesn't get preached in churches enough across our nation, because we'd much rather tickle your backs until you tithe. But this is real. This is the gospel. That Jesus laid his life down so that you could be set free. If you'll trust the governance of Jesus Christ today. I realize that this sort of message empties churches real quick. It's either going to empty it or fill it. But this is the truth. This is the way we roll at Every Nation Brisbane. True governance, guys, belongs to Jesus. Check this out. Romans 8. This is. I haven't seen this. Like, people like different parts of Romans 8, and they have it on fridge magnets. But this is not a fridge magnet part of Romans 8. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in the spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of the sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, is leading the government of your heart, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The government of your spirit must be entrusted to the Holy Spirit. The government of your life must rest upon his shoulders. And in order to do that, some of you may be asking me, okay, how do I do that? How do I trust God this way? It's easy, but it's hard. What do I mean by that? All you have to bring is nothing. But the problem is that not many people have it. I'll say it one more time so you can wrap your head around it. All you have to bring to God is nothing. He's paid it all. But the problem is we bring stuff. The problem is not many people have nothing. Doesn't matter if Whitney Houston sings it twice or three times. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. She still brings if I don't have you. Like, that's how many of us approach Jesus. Like, I have nothing to bring. Good, leave it. Lift empty hands to the Lord. Not like, oh, okay, I'll just hold on to this little something, something. So there's three responses that we have, right? Number one, we hold on to power. It's like, God, I won't trust you in this area. I won't trust you at all in any area. And the result? Anxiety. You're always fearful of where your next dollar is going to come from and why aren't I doing this and why don't I have what this person has and where is it going to come from? And you don't rest well. But Psalm 127 verse 2 says he gives to his beloved sleep. Verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds his house, builders labor in vain. What are you building? Are you stressed out about it? Now, I'm not saying that stress is necessarily a bad thing, because stress produces muscle. It produces faith muscle in the spirit. But there's a difference between good stress and anxiety. And the difference is anxiety declares that I don't trust you to govern. I'm going to take the throne of my life in that area. So number one, you can take full control, take the power and say, God, I don't trust you. I'm going to hoard this power. And the result is anxiety. Well, number two, you can outsource your power. Just give it away. Just give it to whoever's around you. Like, I'll trust the government to take care of me. I'll trust my parents to take care of me. Somebody else is going to take care of me. And the result is entitlement, because then what ends up happening is like, why aren't they taking care of me? I'm entitled to this. They're supposed to. Like, that's their job. And what's your job? Get a job. That's your job. Your job is get a job. I love you. Love you, church. So you hoard the power, or you just outsource the power, or you do with what Jesus said we should do. Because every single person in this room has power. It's a matter of where that governance is trusted to. We serve with our power. We serve with our power. We take the power that we have. We don't focus on that which we lack, but we take the power that we have and we serve other people with it, being reflections of Jesus in society by taking whatever we have to get off our high horse like the Good Samaritan, come down onto the ground amongst those who are broken, those who are around us that have needs. You'll be surprised. Maybe not, but you should be, that there are people that are seated in this room that have needs. Really? Yes. And guess what? You may be the answer to their prayers. Be careful as I say that, because some of you might be like, yeah, I'm the answer to your prayers, girl. You've been praying. And here I am. My middle name is Will. Will of God. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody in here has financial needs. Don't raise your hands. We're going to have a time of prayer, and like, as we pray, I want to give you the opportunity to share with one another what the areas that you need prayer. And then if you have needs, as in accordance with the church in Acts chapter 2, this is where the church takes action with the governance that we have. Because if you serve with power, the result is fulfillment. Matthew 9. This is what it says, right? And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming what? The gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let me tell you some of my brothers and sisters. I don't know whether you realize this, but Jesus didn't have a home. Homeless. The sort of person that we would say, oh, feel sorry for you, we're going to help you out, and we should. But without a home, he was able to do so much. He went through all the cities. See, his life was based around the fact that he recognized that he was the one whom the government should rest upon, right? His shoulders and what he would eventually see and do. But what he was showing us here is that despite not having a home, despite having nothing, he still lived missionally. And you may say in this room, I don't have power. I don't even have the money to pay for the power. And that's real. It's so real. My voice cracked when I said, this is real. That's a real struggle that many of us may face. But you still have power. Everybody in this room was within the top 8% bracket of income. Globally, if you look at the world, you have power. But the tendency is for us to focus on what we don't have, right? Jesus focused on the world. Jesus focused on people around him, traveled and healed every disease and every affliction. And this is the gospel of the kingdom. And then he challenges us. And this challenge is not just issued to his disciples back then, but it's issued to us here in 2019 in Queensland. He says to all of us in this room, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is the Jesus that was born in that manger 2,000 years ago. This is whom we trust. This is whom we allow to take full control of our lives. Are you willing to trust him today? Are you willing to trust your life in every single area over to the King of all kings who would rule? And then transform your thinking to start thinking about those who are around you that have needs. Now be careful. Fight the temptation, because I'm going to get you to pray in just a moment. Pray for one another. I'm going to avail an opportunity that as you pray for one another, to declare areas that you want to submit under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We're not going to do a traditional altar call for those of you who've been around Christian circles. Your altar call is in your group. And if you want to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, I'm going to invite you to a time of prayer. And here's what I want you to do. Firstly, pray alongside somebody in your group and make that decision. Lord, I acknowledge you as Lord. I'm no longer in control. I give you full control of this area. All of my vices, all of my temptations, I submit that at your cross. Knowing that when you are in charge and knowing that as I trust you, you're going to give me the grace to overcome those areas of temptation. You're in control. Pray something along those lines. And then what I want you to do, if you're making that decision, is for those of you who are in your group to pray for that person or those people within your group. And then as you do that, if you're making that commitment today to declare that Jesus is Lord of your life, then what I want you to do is, at least with somebody from your group at the conclusion of this service, to come up the front, because we'll have a bunch of leaders up here that would love to pray for you and help to solidify and seal the decision that you are making to follow.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.